Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So we know that Jesus is the way to God the Father. Now, every way leads to God the Judge. See, because everybody's going to be judged, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But to go to God the Father, we need to go through Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe that He died for us, was raised from the dead, that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the promise to us is to those that believe, that overcome in this life, that we shall rule, we will sit on the throne with Him and rule and reign with Him. Amen? That's the promise to us. So I bet He's got a huge throne in heaven. Amen? It's not some little thing. It's huge. Because we're all going to be up there with Him. Amen? You think, well, I'm going to do this when I get to heaven. Why do that? Well, you know what I'm going to do when I get to heaven? I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the promise, and that's what I'm going to receive. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to ask Moses or what I'm going to ask, you know, David or any of these. I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus because that's His promise to him who what? Overcomes. So we need to overcome this life and enter into that next one at some point. And some of us would say not yet, but at some point. So if you stand with me today, we'll read the Word out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It's titled, The Narrow Way. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into Your Word today, I pray that, Lord, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear the narrow way. That, Lord, that even though it may be difficult to get there, that, Lord, we would lay aside the difficulties, and, Lord, and we would strive after You, the narrow way. That, Lord, that we would not stay in the broad way, we'd not walk in the broad way, which leads to destruction. But, Lord, we choose life. We choose to follow after You, Lord, to enter in by the narrow gate. And, Lord, that we can lay aside our own stuff and pick up our cross and follow after You. We thank You for this time in Your Word, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. He says that there's a narrow gate and there's a broad gate. Decisions, decisions, decisions. It's not like, you know, it's not like you're on the internet and you can decide all these things. There's only two things you got to decide. Are you going to go in the broad way, the broad gate, or the narrow gate? There's only two decisions. But it's the most important decision you'll make in your whole life. Amen? So there are two ways that He has set before us. And the Bible has a number of passages that talk about two ways. And I want to hit some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, it says, see, I have set before you today life in good, death in evil. So here's the other two ways. Life in good or death in evil. So you're either going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're either going to choose good or you're going to choose evil. Amen? So He puts that very plainly there for us in Deuteronomy. But I think Elijah has a great question for us. Elijah says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, he says, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. See, a lot of times people won't make a decision. They don't know quite what to decide. And so in this time when Elijah was there on this Mount Carmel, he called all the prophets of Baal together, and they built two altars. And he said, let's pray to our God and call down fire from heaven to consume the altar. And so the prophets of Baal, there was 400 of them, they begin to dance and they begin to cry out to Baal and they begin to cut themselves. And Elijah sat there and he made fun of them. He's like, hey, maybe you guys should scream a little louder because he can't hear you. You know, because there was no fire coming down. And, you know, and he was teasing them, harassing these prophets of Baal. And he's like, maybe you should cut a little deeper, you know, a little bit more blood, something. You know, maybe he'll hear you. And he just harassed them. So nothing happened. The altar never caught fire. So Elijah, he says, all right, why don't we pour some water on mine? So he got all these jars of water, and he poured all this water over his altar. And then he said, all right, let's do it again. And then he poured all this water on his altar. And they said, let's do it again. And he poured all this water on his altar. Three times they did it. And he said, okay, now let me show you whose God is God. And he called on the Lord. And fire came down from heaven. And it consumed that altar. The fire just, it burned up. Everything that was wet, it just burned it all up. It consumed. It was a consuming fire. And then Elijah, in his zeal and passion, he killed all them prophets. He killed all 400 of them. He said that, you know, they don't deserve, they were bringing, they were infecting Israel with this Baal worship. And he said, we don't need that here. And he killed all them guys. See, one way leads to life, one way leads to death. And you know, those people that day, it says, but the people answered him not a word. But we need to make a decision. Are we going to go in by try and get in by the broad way? Or are we going to get in by the narrow way? I say try because I don't think the broad way, if broad way leads to destruction, so I don't think that leads to heaven. Let me give you this example, and I'm going to come back to this at the end. Think of yourself like a house today. The broad way description of a house would be that you have a house, and Jesus is outside your house, and you know he's out there, but you open the door and you shout out to him your needs every once in a while, and then you shut the door. That would be the broad way description of relationship with Jesus. The narrow way would be that you open up the door and say, get in here. We need you in here. I need you to infiltrate my whole house. And we would allow every area of our life. Because we know that we need them. That would describe more of the narrow way. Keep that in mind for when we finish up today. But we know that Jesus has his way of doing things because as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, he's been describing how he likes things done. He wants us to have a good attitude. He started off in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. Let your attitude be like this, amen, is what he was showing us. He talked about, you know, The words that we speak, how destructive they could be. That when we say things like, I hate you, that's like committing murder. You know, and so he accounts that to us for murder. And he says, oh, your thought life, if you're thinking about having an affair with a woman, you're committing adultery. Or having an affair with a man these days. You're committing adultery in your mind. He says, that's adultery. I mean, he's just taking us down this journey. He says, hey, with what you how you judge people is how you're going to be judged. It just goes on. He's telling us. He's trying to get us to line up with his way of doing things and his way of being right. Amen? But only you can decide what you're going to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I may set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says this, therefore choose life. Choose life, amen, that both you and your descendants may live. What your decisions today has to affects your family, affects your family line. He says that both you and your descendants may live. You make a decision for your family. We've been reading, Delon and I have been reading about Mephibosheth. It's Jonathan's son. You had Saul the king, Jonathan was his son, and Mephibosheth was one of Jonathan's sons. And when Jonathan and Saul were killed, they thought, well, they will kill all the family of Saul. You know, because David was going to come in as king. And they thought David would kill all the family of Saul. So when they grabbed Mephibosheth when he was a little baby, and they dropped him. The lady dropped him in her rush to get out of there and broke his legs, and he was a cripple. And David, he loved Jonathan like a brother. They were so close. And he had it in his heart to do something good for Jonathan's family. And he said, is there anybody left in the line of Saul? And they said, there's one. They had hidden him. His name is Mephibosheth. And David said, go get him. And they brought him in to the king. And the king said, I'm going to restore your properties from your family. I'm going to give you servants to work your land. You will not want for anything ever again. And matter of fact, you shall eat at the king's table the rest of your life. And Mephibosheth, he said this. He said, why would you do that for a dog like me? And it goes on how everything in his family line had been put on him. The guilt, the shame of what King Saul did was on Mephibosheth. And that's how he lived. He lived under this guilt and the shame. And when I read this passage in Deuteronomy, that both you and your descendants may live, you know what we decide? Are we going to go the broad way or are we going to go the narrow way? We have to choose this day whom we're going to serve, because it's going to affect our family line. It's going to make a determination of where our family could end up. You know, we're either going to pass down, you know, curses to our family, or we're going to pass down blessing. And you know who decides that? We do. We decide what we're going to pass along. And so it's either going to be life or death, or narrow or broad, good or evil, blessing or cursing. Choices, choices, choices. We get to decide. And you're here today, hopefully, because you want to make the right decisions in this life that'll lead you through the narrow gate. Amen? Amen? You know, and he's winding up this Sermon on the Mount. We're coming to an end of it. We've been on this since May. Greg, my son-in-law, he's like, this is the longest sermon series I ever heard of. I said, man, because this is Christian living. If we can't get this down, man, we're going through the broad gate. And God wants us to go through that narrow gate. We've got to get this down. Because Matthew 6, 24, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You can't serve two masters, amen? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You can't think, I'm going to go the broad gate today and the narrow gate tomorrow. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to go the narrow way all the time. Amen? Or you gonna, you know, because then if you don't make a decision, if you try and ride the fence, what does Jesus say about that? He's gonna vomit you out of his mouth. You know, anybody that's riding the fence, anybody that can't make up their mind what they're gonna do, Jesus says, whoa, it's gonna be tough for you because I'm gonna vomit you out. I think, well, that person ain't going to heaven. See, so we have to choose, how are we gonna do this? As we've been reading Psalms, I've just become more assured of how much power we have in our mouth. How much of power is in what we say? How many of you have ever said something that you say, I didn't mean that? I think we would all say, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it. Oh, I hate you. I didn't mean that. You know, I despise you. No, I really didn't mean that. You know, get out of the house. No, really, don't go. You know, we let things fly out of our mouth that we really don't mean. But Proverbs tells us that death and life is in the power of our tongue. Amen? We're either going to produce death or we're going to produce life. How many of you want to produce life? Amen. Me too. You know, because Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, it tells us this. It says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Everybody say, ouch. They defile a man. See, it's not, we can all say, I didn't mean it. But the Lord says, whatever's coming out of your mouth is in you. And that's what we've got to deal with. We've got to get out of the broad way of doing things and enter into the narrow way of doing things. Pastor Jesse, you're talking to young married couples tonight. You know, and I hope that every young married couple that comes to your house tonight to be there, and you could go over this with them. How are you talking in a broad sense to your mates? What are you saying? Man, I remember, man, the first 6 years of the lawn and I were married, I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to kill each other with what we said. Our words were so destructive, so terrible. It's just, you know, we didn't, you know, we were young, we're stupid, we're 19. We didn't learn how to build each other up. You know, we were really good. It's real easy to tear somebody down. It's real easy to identify what that person's doing. Oh, you're this, you're that. That's easy. Remember, because the broad way is easy. It's easy. The narrow way, it gets a little tougher. Gets a little harder. So, those things which proceed out of our mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, in the same way that we defile ourselves is the same way that we find salvation. Out of our mouth. What we speak. Our words have a lot of power. And we get to choose whom we're going to serve with them. Amen? We decide what gate we're going through. The narrow or the wide. Wide is the easy way that brings destruction. Narrow way is the hard way that brings life. And I want to apologize right now on the behalf of any pastor that told you that the Christian walk would be easy. Because Jesus is really clear, it is hard. It is difficult. To making a stand for the Lord, it is difficult in this life. But he does tell us of this. He says, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because when you enter into His way of doing things, you enter into His righteousness, you stop worrying about what everybody thinks about you, and it becomes more easier to serve the Lord. Amen? But getting there, and that's what I want to focus on today, is getting in the narrow way. How can we walk in the narrow way so that we have eternal life? Amen? And so number one today, and it's come out of the scripture I just read to you at Romans 10:9, confess Christ. Confess Christ. According to Scripture, what we say has the power. You know, as I do the daily Bible reading along with you, and I'm in Psalms right now. I'm in Psalms, I think I read 41, 42, something like that today. But as I've been reading, I was reading in across, I'm getting fed so much out of the book of Psalms. And in Psalms 34, it says this. It's not going to be on the screen. How many of you want to know how to develop a fear of the Lord? How many would like to know, what does it mean to fear the Lord? You want to be taught that. I'm going to teach you right now how to fear the Lord. You ready? You ready to receive right now? Receiving is one thing, doing is going to be another. So when you can receive right now, but then you got to do it when you leave. He says, I will teach, in Psalms 34:11, he says, come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. This is what he says. He says, who is the man that desires life? How many of you desire life today? Amen? Who is that man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Here it is. This is how to have the fear of the Lord. Number one, keep your tongue from evil. Don't speak evil. Number two, he says, keep your lips from speaking deceit. See, the fear of the Lord, we think it's all, you know, some mystical thing. No, it's the words that are coming out of your mouth. I think, oh my gosh, I'm reading this, it's all highlighted in my Bible. I marked it in yellow, I underlined it in pen. I'm like, oh my God. Keep your tongue from evil and lips from speaking deceit. And then it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. See, if you want peace in your life, you got to pursue it, amen? You got to go after it. You know, because to have peace, even in the church, in the family, you got to be what? You got to be peaceable, amen? You got to be peace. So in order to go after peace, you got to be peace. You got to speak peace. You got to not speak what you're feeling. You know, keep your tongue from evil. Don't speak what you feel all the time. Because what we feel all the time is not good. It's not right. You know? Just a real simple question. How many of you have ever felt like slapping somebody? See, your feelings aren't right. They're not always right. They may deserve it, but your feeling's not right. Amen? We don't give in. So, but we confess Christ. So I confess Christ for my salvation. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus. Amen? I'm forgiven. I'm free in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell anybody that. And I ask people too. I'll meet people and I'll ask them, hey, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And they're like, Yeah. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, because I'm not afraid to ask. It's just a question. Amen? But I confess, I know Him. And I know what He's done for me. I confess Christ for my healing too. I do. I confess Him for my healing. You know, I speak what the Word says about me and not just what a doctor would tell me. Amen? You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, you know, doctor tells the chair, you got this or you got that. And the chair says, okay, but, you know, I may have this and that in my body, but Jesus says, by His stripes I'm healed. Jesus says He sent forth the Word to heal me of these diseases, so I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak healing. But Rick, if I just keep proclaiming how I feel, I'm not going to produce life, because death and life are in the power of your tongue. So you're either going to speak life or you're going to speak death. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't say what you feel or how you feel today, but start speaking what Jesus says about you, because that's what brings life, amen? There's death, there's life in what? Our tongue. So I want to produce life. I don't want to produce death. I don't want to speak evil. I want to speak life. I want to speak the truth over my life. I want the kingdom of God to come to Ron King. I want to walk in healing. I want to walk in victory. So I want to build myself up. You know, Scott, because not everybody's going to try and build me up. Amen? You know, the people will come in and agree. You say, oh, I'm sick, sad, sorry. And they'll come and say, oh, you poor, sick, sad, sorry thing. People will come in agreement with you. And there's power in agreement, AJ, because when we agree on any one thing, it shall be done. So if you're getting married next week, you're going to come into a major agreement. You know what? Why don't you stretch out your hands to Him? Usually this last week is the toughest week. Father, we lift up AJ and Gina to You, Father. Lord, this next Sunday, they're going to make vows and commitments, Lord, for life until death. And Father, as they make this commitment, we pray this week, just the God of peace be with them. That, Lord, that You comfort them, You guide them and direct them. Let this just be the greatest time of their life next to their salvation, Lord. We speak life into this marriage today in the name of Jesus. That no weapon formed against them would prosper. But Lord, that You cover and protect them and bring them to this place next Sunday, Father, of making the vow and commitment to You and to each other, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That. But you can speak life over yourself, Robert. You know, and I believe that, man. I do. I give myself self-talks, man. I talk to myself. I go, I was getting dressed today. I put my tie on and I turned off the light in my closet and the Lord just spoke to me and said, Are you really done? And I'm like, I went back in the closet, turned on the light, because I got all them scriptures on the wall. And I got names written on the wall. And I started going down the names and proclaiming the scriptures over them names before I left. See, because it's a part of me getting ready for my day that I'm going to speak life, amen? I'm not choosing death. I'm speaking life. And so they're right there. They're just a reminder, man. And I just go through and I throw your name in there. I threw your name in there, Carol. I threw you in there today, Mama. There was a number of you. I just threw your name. You're all written on my wall. And I'm just throwing your names in those scriptures. And I'm believing for God to do miraculous things in your life. Amen. I'm just hung on that. You know, it's a part of getting ready, amen? So, you know, for healing, I confess Christ as my healer. How many of you need some money? Okay, I'm not going to give you any. But confess Christ for your finances, amen? Amen? He is what? He is Jehovah who? And Jehovah Jireh is what? Our provider. Talk to Him. Confess over your... Oh, Friday night, we had a great time. Man, we were praying. We laid our checkbooks, our wallets on the chair, man, and we came and we prayed. prayed over them. We prayed, we interceded, man. I just got on my knees and I cried out to God for a long time. Man, Pastor Jesse's up there ripping off a prayer and I got my hands all over these wallets and pocketbooks and I'm just praying for money to come, the blessing of God to come upon the people of God. You know, in January, we're going to Africa. And I talk to this brother every day. About 6 in the morning, he starts texting me. Every day. His name is Alfred Alleluia. And he said, greet your church today for me. So on behalf of Alfred Alleluia and his church in Uganda, I say hello to you this morning. But Alfred, he wants to be New Hope Africa. I already sent him the logo. I said, yes and amen. Be New Hope Africa. So we can get shirts, Pastor Jess. We're going to get shirts that say New Hope Uganda. You know, and we're going to give them shirts that say New Hope Corona. You know, he says, do you think you could bring me a keyboard? I said, man, you know, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll bring you a keyboard. You know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm thinking we got an extra one. I'm thinking, man, that's a lot for me to lug around. You know, how am I going to... I texted him this week. I said, could I buy one there? He said, absolutely. I'm like, okay. So now I just need the money to buy one there. Amen. I just need the money to buy it. So I'm like, okay. He says, do you think you could bring some balls for the orphanage? Well, absolutely. He says, do you think we could go and buy soap and toothpaste for the guys in prison when we go to the prison? See, because it's not like the luxury house that we have in a prison here. You know, they're lucky if they get bread and water in a prison over there. And he says, can we buy them some soap? You know, because they don't get stuff. We have, you know, the family brings it to them. So we're going to go minister in the prison and we're going to bring them this stuff. I said, could we do a men's meeting and a women's meeting? He said, sure. We'll rent a tent for the women and the men will meet in the church. I said, well, how much money is that going to cost me? Oh, it's $200 for the tent. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, and my mind is racing. I'm trying to add up all this money. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care because I believe that God's going to bring me the money. And I'll tell you how he gave me a witness this week. Because I'm talking about confessing Christ as my provider as over my finances. When I was pray every day, I go and get the mail. I'm the one that gets the mail. I went nine years. I never hardly got the mail, unless I was expecting something, unless I was looking for something. You know, when you're expecting somebody to send you something, you get the mail. You know, so. Pastor Jesse, I'm looking with expectation today. I walked through my house with the keys to the mailbox before I got the door. If anybody's home, I say, can I get a witness? And they yell out, check's in the mail. I said, absolutely. So I went out this week and I opened up the mailbox and there was one letter in there. And it was from a church in Riverside. They said, they didn't call me Pastor Ron. They said, to Evangelist Ronald King, we would like to consider supporting you prayerfully and financially for your missions trips that you are making in the future here. So could you please send us what you're doing, your website and everything? And you know, it was just a week before that I launched Breath of Hope International website that you can go and log in. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the timing of the Lord is perfect. And they're like, we want to support you financially and prayerfully. And I'm like, man, they're considering me right now. I'm like, man, see, God knows. But I know this. I'm saying yes to the Lord. I'm saying yes to Uganda. I'm saying yes, I'll come. Yes, I'll bring. But I'm not worried about the money. I know that God is going to supply the need. Amen. And He may call you. He may say, you need to help Him. Just put Africa on your envelope. I'll buy that piano when I get there. I have a 13-hour layover in Qatar? I don't want to drag a piano around with me. But you call on Him for finances. Call on Him for peace. How many of you need peace? He's Jehovah who? Jehovah Jireh, but He's Jehovah Shalom. Our peace, amen? So we can call on Him and say, hey, my pastor said you're Jehovah Shalom, my peace. He says the chastisement for our peace was upon him when he went to the cross. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. So when I'm not feeling the peace, I can call and say, hey, I need today your peace. I need that comfort of the Holy Spirit today. But we confess what's in our heart. We confess what we believe is true. Amen. Psalms 38, verse 13, it says, but I'm like a deaf man, do not hear. But I'm like a mute who does not open his mouth. He didn't want to listen to his enemies, and he didn't want to speak wrongly. He didn't want to engage with his enemies in conversation. He didn't want to speak ungodly things. He's like, I'm not listening, and I'm not speaking. I'm not going to speak what the Lord doesn't want me to speak. And in Psalms 39:1, it's a prayer for forgiveness, wisdom and forgiveness. It says, I will guard my ways, lest I sin. How? With my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with the muzzle while the wicked are before me. You know, and this is a key for marriage right here. If you practice this scripture right here, if you'll restrain your mouth with a muzzle, you won't say those stupid things that bring the division in your own home. Now, if I see y'all walking around with something on your head, I'll know what's going on, you know. Well, you know, it's what the psalmist is saying. He's like, you know, we engage in these evil conversations that we shouldn't have. We have to muzzle ourselves, amen? And sometimes you just got to shut up. Because listen, you can't take back once it flies out of your mouth. You can't take it back. Once you've said it, it's landed. And lastly, confess Christ for love. God is love, and we need to speak in love. Amen? We need to speak lovingly to people. We need to speak kind and gentle to people. We need to speak with the love of God. We need to muzzle it if we have to. Like I said, because once those words leave, that's it. So those are the things in confessing Christ. And I'm sure you can come up with more ways to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So you work on that one. And number two, be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. How many of you do everything the Lord tells you to do? She tries. All right, I'm talking to the right crowd. Be obedient. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Some of us, we're just afraid to raise our hand. We're like, I don't know, man. I'm really trying, but, you know I let him down sometimes. How many of you let him down sometimes? Yeah, we all let him down sometimes. But in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, it says, now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all, everybody say all, his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above nations of the earth, and these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2 is this, but 3 through 14, it describes all the blessings that he's going to throw on you. And then when you get into 15, and you go all the way to the end of the chapter, I didn't look it up, but I want to see how Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. There is 68 verses in there. The first 14 describe the blessing. From 15 to 68 describes the curses that are going to come upon us if we're not obedient to the Lord. How many of you want to be obedient to the Lord? Man, I don't want to be. I don't want that junk. I don't want my life opened up to that junk. Amen. Being obedient to the Lord, it takes us down that narrow road, and it's a journey. Amen. The broad way allows us to live the way we want to live, to do what we want to do, but the narrow way takes us into doing things Jesus' way. It takes us down that narrow path. Now we know that grace frees us from sin and death, amen, and it brings us into the life of the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. So we haven't been given what we deserve. And out of that, we become obedient to Jesus. The more you experience Christ, the more obedient you want to be. In John 14, verse 15, it says, it's just very simply, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he says this, and I'll send another, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will abide with you forever. Who was with you, now will be in you. See, out of obedience to the Lord, as we're obeying, He's filling us with His Holy Spirit. He is empowering us to walk with Him. But the process is that to let go of the broad way and to pick up the narrow way of doing things. Now, I've been doing Bible studies in the morning since I got back from China in 2007. I've been doing Bible studies with men. For a couple of years, we met every day at 6 o'clock. Then we moved it to 7 o'clock. Then we moved it to 9 o'clock. Now I'm at 10 o'clock. Because I am out every night just about ministering somewhere. And I'm like, you know, I just can't get up that early anymore. I want to go to the gym, work out, have breakfast with my wife, and then get in the office and do Bible study. But as I did it at 6 o'clock for a couple of years with guys, we read through the Bible each year. Each year we went through the whole Bible. And as we would go through that with these guys, and we would talk, and we'd explain what the Word is saying, you know, guys would be like, they look at me and they say, well, why you got to tell us this, Pastor? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I didn't know it was sin before, but now I do. Now I'm feeling convicted that I've been doing it. And how am I going to stop doing it now? Now I know I can't do it, because if I do it now, it's going to be sin to me. I'm like, well, that's just going down the narrow road. That's heading this way instead of doing it like everybody else. That's making a decision to follow after Jesus. His way of doing things. His way of being right. Not my own. See, and it's not easy. But the simplicity in all of this is that we just be obedient. The difficulty in all of this is that we just be obedient. See, it can either be simple or it can be really hard. You know, but we have to decide what we're going to do. Because when we make the way, we know it's not easy. He says, difficult. Everybody say difficult. Is the life that leads. Difficult is the way that leads to life. It's not easy. Someone's got to die. But here's our hope. Jesus already died for us. He already made a way for us. Jesus died. He paid the price for all of our sins. Amen. Our sickness, our disease. He paid the price already. We don't have to die again for that. We're under this grace that allows us to have life. But He does challenge us, pick up your cross and follow after Him. Amen. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus today. Be obedient to Him. And as we pick up our cross, obedience just seems to follow us. Seems to go with us. So if we're going to go through the narrow gate, we need help. Amen? How many of you need help? I do. I need help. Sometimes I say the dumbest things. I'm like, no, why did I say that? You know, you're like, ugh, and you want to catch it. You know, and I have a wife that has a lot of grace for me. She'll look at me and she'll say, did you really mean to say that? And I say what? Because you know, once it left your mouth, you shouldn't have said it. So, but she has grace for me. She gives me a do-over all the time. You know, not that I'm bad all the time, but sometimes I say the darndest things, you know. And she allows me that opportunity to get it right. And then sometimes she gives me two or three times to get it right. I said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm going to muzzle it. It'd be the best way. But the Holy Spirit, He empowers us to be a witness, amen? So, He does this by giving us a new tongue. Mark chapter 16, He says, the signs of a believer is that we have a new tongue. That's our promise to us, that we have a new tongue. So, when I got saved, when I committed to the Lord, I got a new English tongue, but I also got a heavenly language. He filled me with His Spirit, and I began to pray in tongues that no man could understand, but only God can understand. And as I prayed in tongues, the Lord said, if you pray in tongues, Ron, you're going to produce more life than you do death. Because when I'm praying in the Spirit, it causes me to focus more on God's way of doing things instead of my own. So as I've been praying in tongues, you know, it just comes more and more and more. I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to just glorify God in my tongue. Amen? So let's make this number three. Number three is a new tongue. A new tongue. A new tongue purified by God. Amen. Somebody told me this week that they were on their way to church today and they were asking the Lord for the coal from his altar to purify their tongue. I thought, that's what we need. We need a purified tongue. And that's what, you know, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, you know, the prophet was watching and he said, prophet Isaiah, he said, you know, he took coal from the altar and he put it on my lips. It just purifies. Lord, purify my tongue. A tongue, I want a new tongue that speaks life. Amen. I want to speak life in my marriage. I don't want to speak death. I want to speak life to people I meet. I want to glorify God in everything. Amen. I want to speak life. Delon ran into somebody the other night at the store. She was in a hurry. She just went in to grab one thing and come out. And when she came out, she ran into a guy she hadn't seen in 20 years that was here, that was with us when we were youth pastors here in the church. And the guy just opened up to her. He started crying. He said, I'm going home. I'm gonna commit suicide. And she's like, no. No, you can't. And she just shared with him, you know, for like a half hour out in front of the store and prayed with him. And she said, now, can you come see us and talk with my husband and I? He said, okay, I'll do it. So tomorrow I'll be praying for us, because sometime we're going to meet with him tomorrow. We're believing that God is going to deliver him out of that despair, you know, and take him into this narrow way with Jesus. Amen. You know, that spirit of heaviness get off of him, that spirit of death be destroyed. Amen. You know, we're going to speak life into him. And I want a tongue that speaks in my heavenly language. I want a tongue that is surrendered to God and not of my own flesh. Amen. My flesh would say that speaking in tongues is crazy, but my spirit craves it. My spirit desires to do it. And I feel so encouraged when I'm praying in the Spirit. On Friday nights, we pray in tongues a lot. We've been out there in room one praying, and our prayer meetings on Friday nights are just exploding right now. There's people coming from different churches right now. A lady came in that I did not know, and they said that they told her that her baby was going to have a heart transplant when it was born, man. And I said, nuh-uh, nah, not on our watch, man. I called that lady up. We laid hands on her, man. We're praying. Her name is Stephanie. Her little girl's name is Priscilla. And so we're praying for a new heart for Priscilla, that by the time she's born, that heart would be fully formed and functioning the way that God designed it. Amen? We're crying out to God. And one lady that came Friday night for the first time, she's like, I didn't know what I was missing. She goes, I came in there Friday night, and she says, I felt so encouraged. Because, man, we are in there. She goes, it was so intense. It was just so filling. You guys were praying in the Spirit. You laid hands on the sick, and God is moving, and you can tell in the atmosphere that God is doing something great. Amen. Hey, listen, don't clap. Come. I don't care if you clap. I want you to come. This Friday night we'll be in the sanctuary. We'll be in the sanctuary this Friday. Come this Friday night. Come with us. And let's just pray in tongues, man. Let's believe God for great things. Amen. Let's believe for the healing, the manifestation to come to us. But I need a new tongue. And maybe some of you need a new tongue today. Maybe you need a new tongue. Remember I told you about the house. I'm coming back to the house now. Maybe Jesus has been on the outside of your house. And you open that door and you shout out to him once in a while. Hey, Jesus, I need some finances. Or, hey, Jesus, I need some healing. You just shout out to him. Or maybe you've let him in and he's the Lord over your whole life. But maybe you've let him in and through circumstances, through the trials of this life, You've pushed him down into a corner of your house. You've closed the other doors of your life off so he can't come into them. You found that the narrow way was a tough road. And you've closed Jesus down into one corner of your house so that you can live in the broad way where it's easier. We're either one of three people today. You've either given him your whole house, or he's outside, or through the trials of this life, you've pushed him into the corner. I've just described you today. You're one of the three. I'm one of the three. But the great thing about Jesus is that today we can let him in and we can let him out of the corner. We can open up our lives to him and just say, fill me today, Lord. So I want you to bow your heads with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, you know everything about us. You know where we're at. You know if we've had Jesus on the outside. You know if he's in and he's in every area of our lives. And you know if, Lord, through hurt and trials of this life, we've limited him down to one room. You know us, Lord. You know all about us. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I haven't opened up to him yet. I keep just shouting out to him, hoping that something would happen. Or maybe you've got him down into the corner of your house because of hurt, disappointment. The trials have been real heavy to you. If you're one of those two people, I want you to just raise your hand right now. If you know that's you, amen, 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 amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 You know where you're at today. You know if you're in the broad way or you know you're in the narrow way. And you know where we need to be. We need to be in the narrow way. So I'm going to ask if everybody would stand and if the altar workers would come to the front right now. And I'm going to ask you this because we want to pray for you. If you raised your hand today, or maybe you didn't and you shouldn't have, I'm going to ask if you could just step out of your seat and come and make that commitment. Make that commitment to this person here that's going to pray for you. Let them know what's been going on if you need to, but get into the narrow way today. Get out of the broad way. Come, if you raised your hand today. Come and allow one of these people to pray for you today. Come on. Come on. Many hands went up. Many hands went up. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus was talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. You know, We need to make that commitment. We need to get out of the broad gate and get into the narrow way. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you said that the signs of a believer is a new tongue. And I pray today for a new tongue on every person here today. I pray that, Lord, our English or Spanish or whatever our main language is would be transformed. But I also pray, Father God, that we could begin to pray in the Spirit. Lord, that our heavenly language would just come alive inside of each one of us. That, Lord, that you would fill us overflowing and abundantly with the Spirit of God, that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. You said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let our spirit man speak, Lord. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in new tongues, Father. Lord, let us rejoice in you always. And Lord, I pray a covering and protection over each person here today. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need that. I need that new tongue. Whether it be your English tongue or you need to speak in tongues, your heavenly language. But you say, I need a new tongue today. I need to stop speaking wrongly. I need to speak life. You know, and I want you to just come right here in the front right now, because I'm going to pray for you right now. If you need a new tongue, you know you've been talking stuff, you might have been talking trash, or you just need to speak some life. I want you to come right now because God wants to give you a new tongue. He wants to just bless you today. Just come on, come on, if that's you today. Come on, I know there's more than two people in this house that need a new tongue today. I know if you just confess with your heart that you need a new tongue, you know you need to be down here right now, that you need to be here to receive from the Lord today that new tongue. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm going to give you a moment because I know. Praise you, Father. Lord, you see these wonderful people of God before you. And Father, I pray that today, that Lord, that they would receive a new tongue. I pray, Father God, that their English would begin to speak the kingdom way, Father. That, Lord, that you would, Lord, even bridle their tongue, Father God. That, Lord, that you bring a covering over their tongue today in the name of Jesus. That they not just speak out, Father, but, Lord, that you'd fill them today. And I pray that you'd fill them with your Spirit today, Lord. That you fill them overflowing, Father God. And, Lord, we'd give them a heavenly language, too, to begin praying in tongues, Father God. Tongues of fire, Father God, would fall on them. Lord, as in Acts 2, let it flow through them, Father. Let it flow, God. Yay, tongues of life. Tongues of life. Come on. Raise up your hands. Receive today. Receive today. Tongues. Lord, a new tongue, Father. Bless them today, Father God. Lord, that we can start speaking life. We can start speaking life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray just your blessing upon the people of God, that you bless them today, that health would be their portion, Father God, and healing would just flow in this house. And Lord, that you'd be our protector. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.